may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I got a whoop. Hallelujah. The glory is here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm listening to you. Thank you, Lord. Someone here, something's really monopolized your time. Really just taking your time as you're like putting out fires. It's over. It's over in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, it's over. Take it. It's over. You're not going to put out the fires from now on. They're out.
Glory to God.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Jordan, remind me of something, and it made me go down a path of thinking, and now the Lord just brought it up to me. And we were talking on the phone yesterday. Pookie moved in with Mama, and Mama's house burned down. So Mama and Pookie moved in with Big Mama, and Big Mama's house burned down. How many of y'all know something's on Pookie? You watch your relationships. You watch them. You're mindful about your relationships, because who you hang with. And listen, you just got back from family. Mm-hmm. Clear that out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know how when you go to a hotel room, you clean it spiritually,
right,
before you sleep in those beds?
That's right.
Better.
Amen.
Always. We were watching someone who did it at the door.
Yeah.
Actually, the people that live in Jordan's house, They do that. They used to live there. But they do it at the door of the hotel. But I'm telling you, if you've been hanging around some pooky stuff, you've been given authority.
That's right, Pastor.
You've been given authority. And you can't get away from your relatives all the time. I'm not saying that. But you can watch what's going on. And you can speak to those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes 5:18. Rachel's going to put this up on the screen. We'll receive our offering. So Danny is... on her way home, she's picking up Kim. They had an accident on the way home, and so Danny had to go back and get Kim and Abe and Kendall. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for their safe passage.
Yes.
We plead the blood of Jesus, top to bottom, side to side, bumper to bumper, and all working parts. We thank you for their safety. We thank you that if there's any bruising or anything hurt that they didn't realize yesterday, we call it healed in Jesus' name. We thank you for their traveling mercies. We thank you for giving Danny strength as she's been driving for days. And I thank you, Lord, for taking care of all of them and taking care of Pepe in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for their safe return in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Art and Loopy's safe return, Amanda and Art's safe return, Katie and Gabe and Irie and everybody else is still missing right now. We call them safe as they come home in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5:18. Here's what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink. Boy, did you do that? Did y'all eat and drink? And now today you're on a diet, right? You know, it's the funniest thing. Brain cells die, skin cells die, but fat cells must be born again because they have eternal life. We call them flushed and gone in Jesus' name. I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. Eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him for his heritage. So it's good to live good. God likes it when you live good. You work hard, you do your job, but you enjoy your life. And so it says, the good of all his labor in that he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. It's his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, who gave it to him? And has given him to eat of it. So that means he's given you your portion of wealth to receive his heritage. So that means so you're able to take your portion and rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. And so according to the scripture, it's a gift of God to live well. It's a gift of God to live well. So it's a gift of God for every man to enjoy what he's labored for. And I want you to notice the phrase here, hath given him power to eat. So now this is, it said, he not only gives him wealth, but he gives him power. And so if you really translated this out, this is what this would actually mean. The power to rule over one's own heart. So it's not to be a slave to wealth, but to be a master over it, using it freely and rightly. Okay, I say it like this to you all the time. I say, you have money, but money doesn't have you. And so God very much wants you to prosper. Prosperity is not just money, but it involves finances. And so he said it over and over in this word. But remember that the blessing of the Lord said, and everybody in here can quote it, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and that actually translates out rich. Yeah. It's not spiritually. It means rich. Yeah. And it says make one rich, but he adds no toil to it or no sorrow to it. Meaning, you know, if money's got you, you're going to be miserable. If you've got it, you'll be okay. But if it's the master over you, if you have love of money or the love of not having any money, you're like, who has that? Oh, yeah. There are like people every day that, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough. So whichever way it would be, or I have too much and I'm not letting any of it go. Whichever way it would be, real wealth, real prosperity has no toil to it. Also, that would mean that God himself has anointed you to prosper, and you're just not doing it out of your own ability and by what you think. Amen. So we see that you could have riches but still live in sorrow and be in some kind of a mess. So what we know is that money is a magnifier. Do we know that? Because you've seen people that finally made it and they got money, and boy, did they spend it on nonsense, right? Yeah. You know, somebody get one time, this sweet little girl, she's a precious little girl. She came to church with us for a while, and she came and she was broke. And she said, when I win the lottery, or she, no, she was, what it was she came into some funds, and it was like $200,000 or something that she thought she was going to get. And she said, I'm going to buy my dad a Hummer. Now, do you get that? $180,000 car, which would leave her with $20,000. Do you see how that would not be prosperous? But just that. So what we have to do is get wisdom about finances, get wisdom about what we're doing. You get $100. That doesn't mean you need to go buy everybody a Happy Meal. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you have, we have this wisdom of how we use our finances. So God wants you to prosper in your soul first and then in your checkbook. True. So it says here he gives power to master yourself. Then you're able to use blessing freely and rightly. Now, it also says here to take his portion, to receive his heritage. So if you'll take your portion, let me say it like this with emphasis. If you take your portion. If you take your portion, it will limit you to the lawful use of wealth. If you take your portion, in other words, don't take God's portion. Oh, okay. Don't get God's stuff mixed up with your stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's important. Don't get the tithe mixed up in there. Because a lot of people, they're going to tithe on $10. But when it comes to $100,000, they don't want to give up that $10,000 as easily. But it's not theirs. God gave them the $100,000, so they need to tithe the $10,000. You know what you have to do? You just have to make up your mind. Make a quality decision that you're going to be connected to God financially. Don't question that. I never question that. That's not mine. And so, but you have to decide that. You can't go back and forth. Well, what if we don't have enough this week? Well, that's not yours. Amen. And it's not after the IRS gets their part. Now, so there's a portion that belongs to God and there's a portion that belongs to you. So he wants to bless you with wealth and he wants to bless you with power to master yourself and master your portion that belongs to you. He wants to bless you with wealth and he wants to bless you with the power to master yourself, to master your portion. I've repeated that 4 times now. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to tell you. Amen. So, these are gifts. That's actually a gift, is that you get this and understand this. And I'm a witness. It works. So Ecclesiastes 7:11 says this, wisdom is good with an inheritance. How many people have just blown their inheritance? Amen. They just, you know, oh, well, you know, hi. You know, praise the Lord. Are you expecting your harvest? 3 people are. Is it a good thing to take hold of?
Yes.
Amen. If God is powerful enough to bless you with wealth, mm-hmm. he's power enough to teach you how to behave yes. with what he's given you. Yes. You can learn how to do it right. Yes. There are a lot of people who are afraid of this. Well, you know, I don't want to do it. No, you need to prosper. Because life isn't just about you.
True.
Way back when I began to understand the message, they used to say that, and I've said this to y'all many times, there's always that person that says, well, I don't need much. I just need for us 4, no more. You selfish thing, you.
Mm-hmm.
We're building churches around the world right now.
That's right.
People are still giving into Victory, and it's still going out to the Living Word Church right now.
Yeah.
And they're building churches.
Yeah.
People need a covering to get under in these places.
Right.
Amen. They need to be able to have some leaders that lead them. They need this. So we can't just think about, well, you know, as long as we have what we need. Listen, if you have a lot, you can give away.
Yeah.
Amen. So tithing and giving consistently is our way of mastering ourselves. Mm. This lets us know that we're not just being Scrooge or being selfish or being greedy. We master ourselves by understanding what part belongs to us, what part's our portion, and what part is God's portion. If someone gives me $100, 10 of it immediately goes to God, but then 80 of it, I say, is this my seed or is this meeting a need? See what I'm saying? What do I do with this, Lord? Now, listen, you don't sow your bread. You don't sow everything you have. You don't give away everything you have. You pay your bills.
True.
But tithing comes first.
Right.
And then everything else. And then you ask the Lord about what to do. So that's how you would keep yourself in check. And that's how you would honor God. And I've been thinking about honor. A couple of people have brought it up to me. Deb was telling me about something and there was couple things I think I watched, and honor seems to be coming up on the Holy Ghost radar right now. Have y'all noticed that? And there was an old preacher. No, it was Tozer. Tozer said, which was a preacher. He's a preacher. He said, when honor comes back in the church, the glory will fall. Signs, wonders, and miracles will come when honor comes back in the church. See, you know, We're probably a little bit more picky than maybe some of the churches you've attended. You know, some churches, people are sitting out here and drinking their big gulp and, you know, and that kind of, and we say, leave your stuff in the coffee shop. Why? To honor the presence of God. We don't have to eat for an hour and a half. We'll be okay.
Right.
Just bring your little bottle of water, drink some water. That's good in here, but you don't have to be, this is not popcorn place. This is where we're honoring the presence of God. I don't see the Lord changing that. He said, well, we'd have more people if we let them come in here and drink a Coke. Well, but what about Jesus? What about the Lord? What about honor? What about the gifts of the Spirit moving? See, because if you're sitting in here drinking a big gulp, you're paying attention to your flesh. Yeah, you are. Paying attention to your flesh. And then we'll want to get drink holders, and then we'll want to get some recliners, and then, I don't know, Chris or one of them might be snoring on the back row if we do that. But that's not what this is made for. This is made to honor God. Have y'all seen the little boy preacher who was preaching on Facebook, and he goes back to tell about how church used to be? And I'm telling you, it got under my skin. He was saying, yeah, we used to do this. We used to have pews. We used to come to the altar. We used to do this. We didn't have snacks in the... I was like, you go, little boy. I mean, he was a little old guy. And he was just preaching the truth. And I thought, you know, there's something about good old religion. Not religion, but old time ways that people did church. They honored God. And so we're going for that. So right now we're going to honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We honor you right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this ability to take our portion and know what to sow and give and tithe to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you would like to give via text message, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. It'll show you there how to do. You can also go online, and there's a give button online, or you can give in the offering bucket today. Praise the Lord. God is good. Praise the Lord. So how many of you had a good Thanksgiving? Did you do good? How many of you saw relatives? Anybody see relatives? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's good. Family is good. I'm so blessed. In my immediate family, I only have Sissy. Y'all know Sissy. And my brother left. My other brother's in heaven, and my parents have been in heaven a long time. But one thing about me and Sissy and Cliff is we don't fight. We don't fight. We just love each other. We don't. And my sister, Susan, his wife, she's a beautiful lady. We all just get along. Amen. We haven't had any wars in years. We just get along. And I'm so grateful for that. Amen. So blessed. And I hope you have that kind of life as well. Let's go to Luke 1:26. Luke 1:26. It's the season. Amen. So by the way, when you come in here Wednesday, we're going to have a very, very, very short word. Very short. And then we're going to decorate the tree. And I'm so glad Pam's here, because they were going to call you. We're like, Deb's like, Pam has to come help decorate the tree because she makes it beautiful. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, are you there? Mm-hmm. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a maiden betrothed to a man of the name of Joseph, a descendant of David. The maiden's name was Mary. So Gabriel went into the house and said to her, "Joy be to you, favored one, the Lord is with you." So she was greatly agitated at his words and wondered what his greeting meant. I could imagine. I mean, has an angel appeared to you and said, "Oh, favored one"? But the angel said, "Do not be frightened, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you are..." I'm reading the Weymouth translation, by the way. I know you're looking at something different. "And you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather. And he will be king over all the house of Jacob for the ages. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And she said, "How can this be?" Mary replied, "Seeing that I have no husband." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, your holy offspring will be called the Son of God. And see, your relative Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment." Amen. And she said, "I am the Lord's maidservant," Mary replied. "May it be with me in accordance with your word. And the angel left her. "Be it done unto me according to your word." Amen. You see that? Now, how many times have we just read this story? I was thinking when Jesse was singing about the blood, I saw myself back, little bitty kid, singing that song in the Baptist church. I sat back there about where Joan's sitting, and I was a little kid, and I've been singing that song ever since. And, you know, we had the little play, and everybody, I was an angel in the little nativity play and all that, and we read the story then, and now I'm this old, and I'm still reading this story, and I've been reading this story to you for 23. This is the 23rd time right now. And so we've been doing this a long time, so we know the story. But it's an interesting thing about the Bible. It unfolds revelation like a brochure. You know how you get a brochure and it's manifold? And there's just manifold wisdoms in it. And you read the front and it says, take this Emerald River cruise down the Rhine River. But then when you open it up, it shows you the staterooms and it shows you up all the things that I'm about to do. And so, but you're looking at it, and then the Word of God, of course, much more powerful than the brochure, but you're actually looking at all the different things that year by year, begin to come out of things. And so it's really interesting. Now just think about the word shalom, because when you first heard shalom and you were young in the Lord, this is what you heard. Peace. Peace. That's what you heard. But then when you began to get around teaching, you heard that it was a greeting and they would say, how is it with you? And the other person would say, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. And then you started getting it preached and you realized that you needed to be shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, that it's a heritage that you have. But then one day, we looked at the Hebrew letters, Mem, Vav, Lamed, Shin. And we came up with this, destroy the authority attached to chaos. And so shalom is so powerful. Destroy the authority attached to chaos. Wow. Everything, I mean, that gives you a whole new shalom. That's a whole new thing. That clears out everything. But see how over the years, as you've been a student of the Word, how that has unfolded to you, and now you have more revelation than you've ever had. And so, you know, the same thing with the Christmas story. I mean, when we were little, or when you got saved and you started listening, there was these two poor people who went into Bethlehem, and she's going to have a baby. And we can't explain that virgin stuff. We don't know, but you know, we can't. But so, and then there's no room in the inn, and then some wise men visit them, and now we have this little nativity set that tells us that. And at least that's what we thought. But then we found out they weren't poor. And we found out that both sides of the family had wealth, and that the carpenter wasn't just standing on a little table that he was going to sell out at the market. We found out this is a big deal. He was actually, they were building a town not far from there. Y'all remember we talked about it last year, and they were doing great things there. This guy was, you know, I mean, he was putting stuff up. Amen. And so, and then that thing about no room at the inn. Well, yeah, why was there no room at the inn? Well, yeah, it was really crowded because everybody was in town. But also, they took one look at somebody who's in labor and said, no. Mm-mm. Yeah. No, that'd be too much going on in our Holiday Inn. See, so there, you know, that, so, and so we found that out. We didn't know that. But then on top of all that, we found out about the Tower of the Flock. Yeah. We found out that they didn't just go in the back of Holiday Inn there in a little stable. We found out that they were sent to the Tower of the Flock, which was where the shepherds actually took care of the unblemished lambs that would go to the temple to be sacrificed. And so the Tower of the Flock is above this little cave, which had a little stable there. And so we found out that Jesus is born there, and it was not very far from where Rachel was buried. And so there's all these things that we've learned, but we didn't always know that. We only knew Mary and Joseph and Jesus and a donkey and a sheep. But then on top of that, we found out that those wise men, they weren't three wise men with three little treasure boxes. There was a whole troop of them, a lot of camels, and they didn't come to that place. They came to when he was 2 years old. They came to what it said, the house. They came to the house and delivered all that stuff. And they were worshiping the king. And then what we found out is those guys were not just what you call wise men. They're the magi. They actually descend from Daniel.
Wow.
From Babylon.
Wow.
And so, boy, this makes the story good.
Yeah.
And we begin to get the background. In fact, Mary went to Torah school. Her parents supplied money all the time for the things of the Torah then. His grandparents live right there in town. See, but you didn't know all that at first. But over the years it unfolded. Now when you think about Christmas, it's a big story. And then, you know, it's just so many layers. And then every year, we take the time to tell how to birth your baby dream. And you can see it out of the stories that we're the Luke 1 and Luke 2. You see that. And we do that every year just as a tradition. And then I always say this to you. There have been many babies who become a king, but only one king became a baby. Those are some of the most wonderful things that we know about Christmas. We just enjoy those little traditions, but we keep learning things on top of them. But today, that was my introduction. Today, which is my introduction is longer than my word. But today, I want to talk to you about something so simple. Yet this is how the whole kingdom of God works. Just so simple. I'm going to tell you today three stages in a miracle. Three stages in a miracle. We have a tendency to just leave miracles up to God.
Yeah.
We're just like, well, you know, after all, he's done great things. He's done great miracles. But I hope you know that miracles require participation. And so I want to bring back to your attention that verse 37. It says, for no promise from God will be impossible fulfillment, or anything is possible with, nothing is impossible with God, I think, in the King James. For with God, nothing is impossible. That's what it says. So, if God promises something, if he promises it, it can be fulfilled. Right? See, what we know about God, what we know about Father God is that he always keeps his promises. Hebrews 6:13 says this. Hebrews 6:13, you don't have to turn there. Rachel's got it, but I'll read it to you. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom he to swear, he swore by himself. I swear by myself. You may swear by your mother or your pinky finger or on the Bible or whatever, but God swore by himself that he would do this thing. And he said this, surely I will bless you and multiply you. He's swearing to Father Abraham, and we are the descendants of Abraham, grafted in. And so God is swearing to us, surely I will bless you. I'll multiply you. Surely I will. I'm swearing that. I swear I'll do it. That's what he said. So evidently, because we see not everybody's blessed, not everybody's increasing, then we have to know that somebody needs to participate on our side. Or else all of us would just be, yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, so what happens when you swear that you'll do something? What happens when you do that? If I say, I swear to you, I will be down to your house at 3 o'clock. I swear that. Then I have to use my own power to get there. I didn't say I'll swear there and you come 4 miles down the road and pick me up. No. No, I swear, Jesse, I'll come down there and I'll bring you a lemon. You know. Making up something here. Well, by my own power. Okay?
Yep.
If I said I'll do it, then by my own power, I have to do it. By my own power. God swore by himself. So by his power, By His power, you get healed. By His power, you prosper. By His power, you get delivered. By His power, you get out of trouble. By His power, you get saved. By His power, you help others get saved. By His power, your witness gets strong. By His power, America's great again. Amen. By His power. Amen. By Him. And so every word of a promise, then we could say every promise in here has the power of God in it. In it. Remember I said that? Okay. Now, so He says, I, by myself I have sworn, or this is something we see in the Word, as I live. God says, as I live. Remember that? So, here's a good one. This is one that is really good. Numbers 14:21 says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's a promise. Okay. So that means the event shall be as certain as His existence. As surely as I live, as surely as I exist, this is going to happen. As surely as God exists, Jesus is coming back for us. He said so. He promised. As surely as he exists, that's how sure He's going to keep every promise that is written in here. Every promise has power. And there's so many promises in here. So God makes a promise. He gives Abraham as an example to us. And so we see that same thing. He makes a promise. He swears with an oath. He swears by himself. He's faithful always. And he's the biggest one in the universe. So we're going to have it. Amen. Now back to the story. So Jesus needs to be born in the earth. And so it's going to take a miracle because God has to be the Father. Because Jesus has to be of incorruptible seed. So we can't have a man seed. We have to have a God seed. And so it can't be any sin. And so everybody from Adam had sin nature. So God has to come on the scene and He has to do this. So a virgin having a baby is a miracle. Now, the Bible said it was a sign. It's a sign. A virgin having a baby is a miracle. And I want you to know something. That's the whole thing. That is the whole. It's all that we hang all of this on. Yeah. All of it is the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. But that a virgin, there's your miracle right there. Isaiah 7:14 said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Y'all know that means God with us. So what does it take to have a miracle? Because a virgin having a baby is a miracle, and that's where the pillars are standing right there. That's what made it all come to pass. Three stages. Number one, it takes the prophetic. It takes words, and that's the first stage. It takes words. Now listen to Isaiah 9:6. Now, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. I mean, that starts with the birth and ends all the way up into the new age. If you can see that right there. Now, here's the interesting about Isaiah. He said this 700 years before Gabriel saw Mary. 700 years. Okay. Now, today you may say, well, I need a miracle, but nobody's prophesying over me. Now, wait a minute. Now, I didn't get a prophetic word. And you just said that stage one was prophetic. Well, see, the Bible has a prophetic word over you. The Bible does. The Bible has the promises, and it has the prophetic word. Can I just say this to you, and I've said it to you before, you're the prophet of your own life. You don't have to have a prophet. You can find the promise or the prophetic and speak it. And speak it. And it becomes your word. By his stripes, I am healed. I prophesy that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can take that. The Bible will talk to you. So words, okay? Mm-hmm. So to have a miracle, it takes words. So someone has to speak words, be it you or someone else who's speaking to you. Now, we had prophecies going forth right before we came online here. People in here were getting words today. But listen, that person who got a word will have to say yes to that and receive it.
Yeah.
It's your choice. You could go, that's probably not me. I probably don't. And that's okay. You can just let it go. Or you could do what Mary did. Be it done unto me according to your word. I'm taking that. I'm going to have that. I know that witnesses to me.
Yeah.
Well, you get a word that witnesses to your good ground and you believe it and you begin to work on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that right when we get finished, which won't be long from now. So someone has to speak it, and they have to speak it to you or about you. Words. Words are seeds. Listen to Mark 4:26. This is Jesus talking. He's told them the parable of the sower, and now he's talking. He said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should sow seed into the ground. That's it. That's how the kingdom works. You sow seed. Now, if you back up there and you look at 4:14, Jesus told us what the seed was. The sower sows the word. So a word has to be sown into good ground. And so good ground would be that you're not offended. Amen. You're in unforgiveness. You don't have lust of other things. You're not just, you don't have the wrong view of, prosperity, of finances, you know, where that's just, you know, you think that finances will just make you happy. No, they could make you miserable. But, let me read it to you like it is because it would be better. Okay. So these are the things right here that would make you not have good ground. If you falter because you get persecuted, if you get afflicted, it's five things. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. That's what I was trying to tell you. Deceitfulness of riches would be like you think that's what can make you happy. Okay. But you're trying to meet a spiritual need with physical thing, and that won't work. Okay, lust of other things, they choke the word. And so what you're looking for is to be good ground. So you stay out of offense, you keep yourself lined up straight, you have good ground, you keep that ground watered, you sow seed into it, you declare who you are, and that seed begins to work in the ground. And you don't really see what's going on in the other realm, but it's working. It's working. So you begin to thank God for it so you don't doubt, right? And then you're going to see this thing come to pass. And so that's what this is talking about, but you're going to have words. So Isaiah prophesied that Jesus, would be born. So he spoke it, but then Gabriel came along and spoke words. So here it is. Number one, if you want a miracle, speak, speak. You have to say something. Number two, to have a miracle, words must be received. They have to be received. You know, that Mary had the famous words. I've already talked about it three times. Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This belongs to you. I take it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I take that. So you have to receive the promised word. Listen to me. You have to believe you receive.
Yeah.
This is where it gets a little technical, but you got to know this. So you believe the word, but then you believe you receive the word. You take it. Demons believe. They believe. They shudder, it says. But we believe and then we take the word. We receive the word. Receive means take. Well, what do we say? Have a cookie. And see, you did. Well, we know, we particularly Texans, I believe I will. I believe I will. And you take that cookie. What'd you do? With your will, you took the cookie that was offered to you. So you have to hear something, right? Okay. Then you have to believe something, but then you have to receive it. So you believe you receive it, right? And so you're going to have to receive this. And so Mary didn't say this. Yeah, I believe that could happen. No, she took it to herself. She said, let it be done unto me. So you take the word, you believe the promise, and then you take it. And that's faith. And so you get the word, you believe the word, you receive the word, you stay consistent about it, about what you received, and then the baby miracle is born. Now, but now get this. This is very important because you're thinking, yeah, but you know, we see miracles happen fast. You're talking about a 9-month baby thing here. Okay. So you're thinking, cause she had to wait 9 months to get that manifestation. No, she didn't. No, she did not. She had the baby when it was conceived. We don't see little Elijah. Well, kinda. But we don't really see him. But he's sitting in here right now. And he's been sitting in here for months. And even before he was showing on baby girl, you didn't know. You couldn't, but he was here. And he the miracle happened at conception. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It happens at conception. It happens when you said, be it done unto me. Not, oh, I believe that could happen. No. Yeah, you do believe that could happen. But it happened when you took it. Wow. When you took the seed. When the seed was taken, the baby was conceived. Every grown up in here understands that. And so this is the same principle that God works on, right? Amen. So whatever your miracle is right now, you just need to believe you receive it and you'll have it right when you do it. Just get that ground ready. Okay, so our miracle of the glory is growing right now because I've already received it. Yep. Signs, wonders, miracles, increase, helping people. Amen. So now look, okay, so Isaiah prophesied that it took 700 years. Here's what we really don't know, and I'm not saying this happened, but this is just a good example. It could be that Gabriel showed up at somebody else's door and said, will you? And some other girl could have said, oh, no, brother. I'm not going through that persecution. I'm not doing that. Amen. It could have happened. I don't know that it did. There's no proof of that. I'm just trying to use it as an example. Because, I mean, you know, I know that there are people who are assigned to go to cities and four or five will say no and the sixth person will end up going. There are people who are supposed to take a certain job and they won't do it. And finally, God will keep asking until someone says yes. But they have to say it, be it done unto me according to your word, and then it'll happen. So a person has to say yes to the word, but the moment of conception is when they say yes. Amen. So when God said, I want you to go pastor a church 22 and a half years ago, I had a church the day I said yes. Amen. When there was 8 people. Well, we really had 16 because we met in a place with mirrors. And so we counted the other eight people. And then there was 12, then there was 24, and then we went up from there, and we've gone higher than what we have now, and the rest of them are going to come back. Other people are going to come. We're going to have more again. All right, so what has God said to you? Well, I don't know. Well, here it is. Look in here. Look in here. He talks about gifts. He talks about fruits. He talks about prosperity. He talks about healing. He talks about good relationships. He talks about wisdom. He talks about ideas. He talks about psalming. He talks about, I mean, it's all in here. It's all in here. So don't say, God hasn't said anything to me. Well, pick this up and dust it off and look in there. Just look in there because he's saying something.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, number three and the last one. This is the part we love. In the beginning was the Word, but then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? So Luke 2:6 says this, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So the miracle was on the inside. The one that was on the inside then manifested on the outside. The conception of Jesus is the miracle. This is the principle of God. It's the foundation of what we all believe. This is why we believe what we believe. Conception has to take place in your spirit for you to get anything from God. It has to happen in your spirit, not in your mind. It has to happen in your spirit. So the first stage in the miraculous is that the word has to be spoken. The second is it has to is receiving and conceiving, okay? Receiving. And the third is manifestation. Now, how easy is that? It's just three simple, it's really two things and you get it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the reason why things take so long is because of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the reason. Hey, they could have crossed the wilderness in 11 days. Yeah. Stayed out there for 40 years. And I know what you want to say. What dummies? Who? How could that? Yeah, but we've been dummies. Because we want to believe for something and then it doesn't and then there's the whole group that says, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Glory to his name. I'm just waiting on the Lord. He waiting on you because he's already set a thing in motion that works. It's called faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. He's going to use faith. You say, yeah, but a miracle isn't faith. Well, let me tell you something. If somebody didn't speak something somewhere, it ain't going to happen. That's my Texas phrase for you. It's not. The reason why you're sitting here right now is because somebody prayed for you. The reason why you have what you have is either you prayed, you believed you received, or your mama did, or your grandmother did, somebody did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you're here. My great grandmother went to heaven while she was praying on her knees by her bed. She didn't even know me and I didn't even know her, but she set up something that rolled. That's right. DNA right here. Praise the Lord. I mean, you just think. And if you didn't have any, you still have God's DNA.
Yeah, right.
And I love what they're saying right now. DNA doesn't lie.
Yeah.
And you could take that to the bank.
Yep.
Now, so in a few short days, you will manifest your love for someone by giving them a gift for Christmas. And some folks, real quickly, some people said amen over here. I didn't hear quite as loud over here. But somebody in here said, I'm not giving anybody a gift. I'm just going to tell them Merry Christmas. I don't give gifts. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Your kids don't want Merry Christmas. They want action.
Manifest your love.
Is that right? Your kids want action.
Yeah,
Mom, Merry Christmas. Where's the presents? But I'm going to tell you who else wants action. God the Father. God the Father wants action. He wants action. He's all about giving. He's ready to fill up your Christmas tree. He's ready to fill up your life. He's ready to bless your life. He's ready to change your life. But he needs for you to participate. The kids come downstairs. They go jump on their mother and daddy in the bed and wake them up. It's Christmas. We got to go downstairs, or whenever you do it. We always did ours on Christmas Eve because we were at Mamaw's house. Y'all know Mamaw? So, but I mean, they're busy. They're running and they want some action and they're going to rip into the gifts and you got to slow them down and all that. But they're expecting on Christmas, not just to get Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, how disappointing. It is a season of giving. The greatest gift wants us to give gifts. I love it. My Christmas tree already full under there. Praise the Lord. Carter Jones is blessed. Now, so, and the rest of them as well. So, he's giving you words and action. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I'll manifest myself. He wants manifestation. He doesn't want you to have to have the baby dream not ever manifest. I'm sure Cherie wants baby to manifest. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wants manifestation. How are you going to get it? Back up to Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believed I received that. I have it. I thank you for it. I thank you. I watched Danny Schaefer. She put that car in place. She said what she wanted. She wanted the red car. We'd be driving down the road. She'd go, "There's my car. There's my car." Have you ever noticed? I don't know, but it's been many, many years since I was pregnant. But I remember when I was pregnant, I saw all the pregnant people in town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they are too. Oh, they are. You just start noticing, right? So when you picked out a particular car, my car.
Yeah.
We used to punch each other and say, "My car," you know. And so Danny Schaefer's doing that. Well, I just want you to know that right now she's driving that car.
Yeah.
Right now. She put her faith out there and it manifested.
Yeah.
And she got a good deal too. She's kind of a Jew. She does really good at that kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. We don't use the word proud, but I'm God proud of that girl. Anyway, God wants to manifest to you. So I just want to tell you this as we're closing. God has some really, really, really good things for you.
Amen.
So this season, I mean, heaven is washing over into this age.
Wow. That's so good.
If you just, the news has totally changed. I mean, and you know, people are going, "Well, I might need to rethink some things." And they're going, "Maybe I've been, you know," and then countries are saying, "Well, I think we better end these wars." And I mean, things are changing. And I love what those two Jewish people said. That one Jewish lady says, "It's amazing how America has just jerked itself back into place." And I'm thinking, that's our God, because this belongs to him. And so what he did was, it's not just to make us great again. It's for the great awakening. It's for people getting saved. It's for what's going to happen in this time. And I mean, people are getting saved. Did y'all see there, you know, those little, silver horse troughs, you know, that you can buy at Tractor Supply, and they're oblong. They're baptizing people in that. I was watching on Facebook, and they baptized this one girl, and she about drug everybody in there with her, and then she came up and started swirling her hair. Did y'all see that one? I mean, I believe she got the Holy Ghost right there. but I'm, and lines of people, and people marching in other countries for Jesus. I'm telling you, we're in the great awakening, and the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. And I have a promise, like Simeon of old. He saw the Messiah before he left the earth. I'm going to see the glory in full bloom before I leave this earth, in Jesus' name. All the way. That is That is the manifestation I'm looking for right now. And I already have it. I already have a taste of it. And I'm going to pray for Isaac again in a minute so he can knock me one more time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants to manifest himself. Are you going to let him? So get the word on it. Receive it. See the manifestation. Now, I'm going to give you a quiz. Ready? Now, those of you who are in the prayer meeting, be quiet. Do you know the five steps of faith? Does anybody know what they are? Hear it. Believe it. Receive it. Say it. And act like it's so. Okay? Hear it. You're hearing today. I'm telling you right now, God wants to manifest goodness in your life. He wants you to win. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants you to come out of all the pookie. Okay? Hear it, believe it, receive it, say it, and act like it's so. So, if you believe, if you heard that Jesus heals, and you believed that Jesus healed, and you received your healing, and you said, I take that, I am healed, then you need to act like it. Yes. Well, I'm going to stay home this morning because... No, that's not how well people act.
That's right.
How are you going to act? Get up! Yes. Well, that's tough. I need someone to be a little softer with me. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. Everybody wants everybody to be a little soft. Now, we do want to have compassion on people. We want to love them. We want to be with them. Someone goes home with the Lord. We want to do all those things. We want to be kind to people. We'll sit with them when they cry. We'll give them strokes. We'll do whatever. But when it comes to faith, you need to understand. You're not going to get it by anybody feeling sorry for you. You're going to get it because you did those five things. Because you bothered to come here and hear it. Or get it in your Bible. However you hear it. You're going to have to hear it. You're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to receive it. And here's the thing. In between hearing and believing, there could be some work you have to do. Because you may have to dig doubt out. You may have to hear and hear and hear. Faith come by hearing and hearing and having heard the anointed word. The more you hear it, the more you're going to believe it.
Yes.
That's why God sent the preacher.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why their feet are beautiful.
Right.
Because God sent them. And so, but you have to do, there's some work to be done there. And you go back to Mark 4 and you'll find that. You gotta get rid of the yucky ground. And then you gotta water the ground with thank yous. Thank you, Lord. Like Danny did. Thank you for my car, Lord. Thank you for that car. That's just like my car right there. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the baby. We thanked God. We prayed for the baby. And then y'all did what y'all needed to do. And then we thanked God and you got the baby. And now there's a baby sitting there right now. And the baby's going to manifest. Same thing over here. Same thing happened with that baby. Same thing's going to happen with Chris and Kaya. Same thing. Whatever it is you need. But you don't stop and go, I didn't get it. Make up your mind that you got it. But it's okay to do this. If you don't know, then you're just in hope. And you can just say, I'm not in faith yet. I'm in hope.
Yeah.
But don't fool yourself into, I did it. I got it. And then we hear you out of your mouth. Y'all pray for us. Well, did you get it? Look, I come from Charles Capps. Okay. He told us like it was. He's a farmer. He learned it right. And he didn't go easy. And because of him, I'm debt free. I'm blessed. I have no disease. I take no pharmaceutical drug. And I have all you wonderful people as my friends. That's a lot. My cars are debt free. My property's debt free. Amen. Associate with the best people on earth. How does that happen? Because you go ahead and get a little tough on yourself and say, you know, I don't think I'm believing this yet. Let me keep putting this in there. Keep putting that in there. Keep putting it in there. Keep putting it in there. Keep putting it in there until you see it starts coming up and you're like, I believe it. See, that's why people don't get healed. They don't get healed because they don't eat enough until they really believe it. You shouldn't have to cope with anything. We've all done it. We've all done it. We've all been guilty, so you don't need to speculate about anybody else. We're all guilty of putting up with stuff. But the truth is we can have what we say. We can have what we say. You receive this today? Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. I'm just so blessed to give a good old faith teaching at the beginning of Christmas. Because that's what we need. Whatever it is you're believing for. Whatever it is. Amen. I'm standing with Irie about her vehicle. Amy, she sent me a picture. I'm still, she's going to get it. It's going to manifest. She has it already. It's already been conceived. And you don't go buy it unless God tells you to. Or Dad, you either. It's whatever God tells us to do. You don't have to be, you know, if Carter Jones wants something, God has to tell me. He talks to me a lot. But he doesn't hardly ever ask me for anything. They won't let him. They trained him upright. He's like, hey, I want to ask her hand if she'll get me. Like, you're not asking her. I'll call her and ask her. We'll see what she says. I'm like, he can call me and ask me. Because I'm Granta. You're like, well, you shouldn't spoil the child. Oh, honey, that child's not spoiled. That's a good man. He's a blessing. He's good, he's kind, and he's respectful, and he appreciates everything. So don't tell me that. Well, you know, y'all people with only children, if you only have one child, honey, let me tell you, that's not what, it's called discipline that makes it work, not how many kids you have. Well, don't ask pastor about marriage because she doesn't know anything about that because she's not married. Excuse me, Jesus wasn't married. I can read the Bible and tell you something about marriage. And since I'm a pastor, I've had to study all those things. Okay, so don't tell me that I, you know, well, she can't help you with drinking and drugs because she doesn't do that. Well, no, I can't say that one. Now, so she can't help you with this because it's never happened. It's not about whether it happened to you or not. You're anointed. You can help anyone with your anointing.
Right. Amen.
Well, if you're anointed, you didn't have to get hung up on drugs to help somebody be delivered. I've heard that all my life.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since I did this, now I can help. Well, maybe you can, but the reason why now you can help them is because you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're anointed.
That's right.
And I just tell you right now, if you ask me something and I don't know it, I will tell you this. I don't know. I don't know. But we can find out because God's big. God's big. Well, why don't you know the whole counsel of God? Well, haven't been on the earth that long. Amen. When we all get together, we've got something.
That's right.
Because Joy knows something, and I know something, and Larry knows something, and Ronnie knows something, and Patty and Hector know something, and Nina knows something. We all get our revelation. Not to mention when you have Rick Renner. Rick Renner, and you have Andrew Womack, and you have Brother Copeland, and you have Nancy Dufresne, and you have all these people, Kelly, and all these people who teach us things, Mac Hammond and Lynn Hammond and Miss Billy. Ooh, and you have all these people. You're listening to the generals. You're listening to the generals, and you're going to grow. You'll grow. Amen. Right on time. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all these people, Lord. Thank you for all of my friends here. Father, in the name of Jesus, for whatever miracle they're believing for, whether it be finances or healing or property or are their children coming into the things of the Lord or more ministry, Lord, or whatever it is, relationships to work out. We're expecting miracles because you said we could have them. And so, Father, we ask you to show us in Scripture. I ask you to show each person a word they can stand on. So that when they say, agree with me for this, I can say, I will agree. Tell me the word you're standing on. And then we can agree in Jesus' name, and it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you.